folks, we're going to have a little scene change here. We are trying to improve our technological ability, and so we think we found a way to make our sound a little better. I've all kind of tangled that up. I don't like it. There we go. Let's see how this works. But hopefully you can hear a little more clearly as we plug a microphone straight into the phone. So my name is Nolan Donald, and it is great to see all of you on this Palm Sunday. What a treat to be in worship together and to reflect on God's Word together. I want to read to us now out of the Gospel of Matthew and out of the 21st chapter. This is the traditional Palm Sunday story. I'm going to read this, and then I want to lead us to think about this for a few minutes this morning. So wherever you are, whatever's going on in your world around you, I just invite you into this moment to hear this story, to begin to open yourself up to what it is that the Holy Spirit wants to do in you, to what He wants to teach you, and to how you can use this season as a window to grow. And so I'm going to read now Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. I'm reading out of the Message version of the Bible, but if you have a Bible there with you, or you want to open up another window on your computer so you can read along, I would love for you to do that. So let's listen together for the Word of God. When they neared Jerusalem, having arrived at Bethpage on Mount Olives, Jesus sent two disciples with these instructions. Go over to the village across from you. You'll find a donkey tethered there, her colt with her. Untie her and bring them to me. If anyone asks you what you're saying, what you're doing, say, the master needs them. He will send them with you. This is the full story of what was sketched earlier by the prophet. Tell Zion's daughter, look, your king's on his way, poised and ready, mounted on a donkey, on a colt, foal of a pack animal. The disciples went and did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They led the donkey and colt out, laid some of their clothes on them, and Jesus mounted. Nearly all the people in the crowd threw their garments down on the road, giving him a royal welcome. Others cut branches from the trees and threw them down as a welcome mat. Crowds went ahead and crowds followed, all of them calling out, Hosanna to David's son! Blessed is he who comes in God's name! Hosanna in the highest heaven! As he made his entrance into Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken. Unnerved, people were asking, what's going on here? Who is this? The parade crowd answered, this is the prophet Jesus, the one from Nazareth in Galilee. This is the Word of God. These words are true, and they can be trusted. Pray with me, please. God, thank you for your Word. Lord, thank you that it is always useful in shaping and forming and helping us to grow in your likeness. And Lord, even as we approach a sermon time different than we may be used to, Lord, we know that you are not different. We know that you are at work, and we know that you meet us where we are. And so, Holy Spirit, we pray that no matter who we are, or where we've been, or what we've done, that you might be at work in these moments. Lord, that the things I say wouldn't be my thoughts, and that what happens in our lives wouldn't be our thoughts, but that we would be submitted to you and your greatest desires in each of our lives and in this world. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been amazing over these last few weeks to watch the different responses that people have had as this COVID-19 thing has advanced around the world. 2 months ago, if I had stood up on a Sunday morning and asked for a show of hands of what COVID-19 was or what the coronavirus was, some of you may have raised your hands, but only because it was something that you may have seen in the news, that you had seen a headline here or there about something that the people in China were dealing with. A month ago, it had begun to get a little closer, and as it got closer and closer, and we saw the pandemic begin to move all around the world and into this country, it was amazing to see how different people chose to respond. We wouldn't all fit into one of these four camps, but I think there are four general camps that we've all kind of fit into as we've watched this COVID-19 thing move and sweep across the world and even into our nation. The first camp I would probably call is the early stockpilers. maybe you find yourself there. These are the people that long before the rest of us knew that anything was going on, they were already buying up all of the toilet paper and hand sanitizer. They may have had some things left over from Y2K. If you don't know what Y2K is, ask your parents. And so they had things, and they immediately, they were getting as much as they could, and so they had their stockpiles all ready, and they were hanging on to everything. And so that was one group. And then there was the group that said, trust the scientist. And these are the people who have probably reached the end of the CDC website, that they've read every single page on there, and that they probably should be awarded an honorary degree for how much they have learned about COVID-19, even though we really don't know that much about COVID-19. And these are the people that said immediately when scientists said, this is what we need to do, this is what we're going to do, and so they kind of began to follow all the guidelines and details, and that was one group. And then there was another group that said, it's really just kind of like the flu. These could also be people who you might call, I'm trusting my high school friend on Facebook more than the scientist. And that's not because they didn't want to participate. They just like normal. And they like their lives the way they were. And they said, I don't want anything to derail my life. And so maybe they used a squirt or two more of hand sanitizer. But they were people who were like, I'm just going to kind of keep going on. And this is something that we don't really have to worry about that much. And then the fourth group was the let's just go to the beach crowd. And these are the people who were in complete denial. And they kind of put their head in the sand, figuratively and literally, and said, we're just going to go. And if we can find a restaurant that's still open or we can hang out somewhere, we're going because we're not going to pay any attention to something that's happening in the world. You might can look at those four different groups and you can say, oh, I know exactly where I am. Or maybe you can even think back to a month ago and go, oh, I remember when I got in this group. Or you can think of a moment where maybe you weren't paying much attention to the coronavirus as it began to spread, but something happened, a news story or a friend or a testimony or something, and it triggered you to choose to kind of be in a different group. What's true about this and coronavirus and in so many other places is we all made a choice about how we would respond to this pandemic that's sweeping the globe. Even if you didn't make a conscious choice and you just decided to kind of go along with the crowd because that's what everyone was doing, you made a choice. An event like the coronavirus or a pandemic sweeping our world is a place where we so clearly can see that we are all completely in charge of how we respond. That we're all in charge of how we respond to anything. No one can tell you what to think about coronavirus. No one can make you think something about this. No one can force you to be in one group or the other. You get to choose. And even if by default you're letting the kind of crowd make a decision for you, you're still choosing your response. You are completely in charge of how you respond to something like this that's sweeping the globe. This isn't just true for the coronavirus or a pandemic or something going around our world like it is today. This is true all of the time. You are completely in charge of how you respond. We can see this in a lot of places, but one of the places that I think you can see it so clearly is with kids. Whether you have kids or you've been a kid, you probably can relate to the fact that so frequently kids want to say that somebody else is making them do something. Just this past week at the breakfast table, one of my children said that another one of the children was making them angry. And so we talked about it for a minute, but I said, do they really have that much control over you? Now, we'd like to think that someone else does have that kind of control on us because we don't want to have to take responsibility for our actions. But as I challenged my children, I said, if one of them says that you have purple polka dots all over you, does that make it true? I said, ultimately, you get to decide how you respond. And that's true everywhere. That's true in everything. And that's true whether it's coronavirus or in our life. And it's especially true when we begin to think about Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is a unique day in the story of the Christian faith. It's a unique day in the history of the church. So frequently, churches, when we've gathered together on Palm Sunday, turn this into kind of a celebration, almost like a pep rally or a cheering session. We invite kids to wave palm branches because we celebrate this part of the story of Jesus. But this part of the story really paints an interesting picture for us about what does it mean to respond. The story of Palm Sunday is the story where Jesus makes his way into the city of Jerusalem for what would be the last few days of his life. And as he's making his way into Jerusalem, this crowd that had kind of been curiously watching him begins to respond in different ways. Jesus was just finishing 3 years of kind of on-the-ground, nonstop ministry. He had been inviting and announcing and introducing people to the correct picture, the whole picture of who God was. He had been inviting and announcing and introducing people to the wholeness and the life that could only be found in Him. And as he had made his way through the cities and villages of all of that area of the world, people had come out and watched. And there was a whole range of responses that people had felt as they'd watched him. Some had immediately jumped all in. They had left everything and had followed. They were obeying and doing everything that Jesus could, and they wanted to walk exactly where he was walking. And there were others that were completely resistant. They were unsure about who he was, and they were angry about what he was inviting people to do. And then along the continuum, there was this whole scan of people with all kind of different responses. As Jesus makes his way to Jerusalem right before the feast that would have been known as the Passover, the crowd begins to press in, and they're watching him, and they're wondering what's going to happen. It just seems that this moment is ripe with possibility. And as they're getting closer there on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sends two of his disciples into a little village to procure a donkey for him to ride on into the city. As the disciples come back with the donkey, Jesus gets onto this donkey. They lay their cloaks out on his back. And then as the crowd is watching, the mob mentality almost takes over. It's almost like one of those events that you see where a few people start something, and before you know it, it's spread across the whole group. Because someone remembers the prophecy out of Zechariah that says, our chosen one will come riding on the back of a donkey. And they shout it out, and someone else grabs a branch off a tree. And before you know it, this crowd that was curious about what Jesus would do next and was just watching him as he made his way to Jerusalem turns this into a coronation parade. And everybody along the side is cheering and chanting and watching him as he goes in. And people are curious about what it is that will happen. It's amazing when you really stop and look at this text at what the focus is on. Because the writer, Matthew, pulls the camera back, and this isn't a place where he's focused on Jesus. The camera no longer is zoomed in on him. Other than him sending the disciples to procure the donkey, Jesus is really passive in this story. And what Matthew does as he tells this story is he turns the camera around to show us the response of everybody else. He shows us the different people who are watching this happen and how they respond to what Jesus is doing. Jesus seems fairly unfazed by the craziness of the world around him. Jesus seems unfazed even by the reaction of the people. Jesus is on a mission. He's known for days or months or maybe even years that he ultimately would have to make his way to Jerusalem, where he would give his life as a ransom for you and for me and for the world. And so he's focused on doing what it is that God has invited him to do. And as the world around him is going crazy and there are all these different responses, he continues to press on into what he's doing. As the camera scans the crowd, we see all kind of different people and how they respond to Jesus on this mission to make his way to Jerusalem. There's the crowd that gets excited, that begins to cheer by the side of the street. There's the ones that really believe that he was the chosen one and was excited about the fact that he was finally making his way to Jerusalem. And then the text is clear to tell us that not all of the crowd responded that way. That there were some who were uncertain. That they weren't sure who he was, or they continued to wait. They needed more evidence or wanted to wait till they saw something else. There were the followers that were walking with Jesus. Those who had already committed themselves to his way. There were the disciples that went and got the donkey in the first place. There was the man who gave the donkey, who yielded himself to what Jesus was about. And then there was the whole community that as they made their way into Jerusalem, who had no idea who he was. All of them had a chance to respond, and their choice was completely up to them. Because just like for you and me in our world today, where we are completely in charge of our response, they were too. And the responses were varied and different. But what we see is that Matthew is interested in how people will respond to Jesus as he marches forward, as he presses on with his mission, as he continues about what it is that God has called him to. Our world has been turned upside down in a different kind of way. The world around us is crazy. It's really amazing. Maybe you've had this moment, even in the last week, where you've come to grapple with just the magnitude of what it is that's happening around the globe. It's crazy to hear some of the news that we hear that now more people than died on 9/11 have died because of coronavirus. It's amazing to hear the projections that more people than who died in Korea and Vietnam together will die because of this disease. It's crazy to think about how much our world has been turned upside down. And all the things of normalcy that we cling to and hung on to have been stripped away. The places where we look for solace, where we tried to find something to help us make it through life, all those things are gone now too. Things like sports or shopping or gathering with people or concerts or events, all those things have been pulled away. We spend so much of our lives trying to make our lives normal, trying to balance it just right, trying to figure out how much we should work and how much other things we should do, where we should go, when we should do it, and what our lives should look like. And at least probably for the first time in my life, we've all been faced now with this point of going, we're not in control. We can't dictate the terms. And even when we think we have it all together, there is something that can come that can turn it all upside down. And yet what we see is that even in our world that's turned upside down today, is that Jesus is pressing on. That just like on that first Palm Sunday when he rode on the back of that donkey into that city, there is still one who comes to give hope. There is still one who comes to give life. There is still one who says, take on my yoke, for my burden is easy and light. There is still one who says, I can overcome all things. There is still one who says, there is nothing that can defeat me, even death. And in the midst of a world that's turned upside down again, Jesus just continues on and presses forward. Our world has gone crazy, and Jesus just presses on. But the question for all of us is, just like on that first Palm Sunday, is how will we respond? For some of you, you may have already begun to feel the impact of our world that has changed so rapidly. You may know someone who has been impacted by the coronavirus. They say within another few days, we all will, or we'll know of someone who knows someone. You may have found impact in your own life, in your own household, in your family. Your life may have been curtailed. You may have lost a job. Your finances may be a mess. You may not understand how you're going to keep going. And for some of you, you may not have reached that point yet. And maybe you won't even have to. But for all of us, we're facing the fact that there is a world that we can't control. That there are things that can overcome us. And as Jesus presses on as the one who gives life, as we come into this Holy Week, remembering that he is the one who goes to the cross and ultimately to the grave. And then as we gather next Sunday to celebrate that he is the one who can overcome, I wonder how you'll respond. I think Jesus paints for us the best image of what it looks like to be faithful in the midst of this season. Because Jesus isn't fazed by the craziness of the world around him. Jesus isn't fazed even by the reaction of the people. Our world around us continues to try and tell us how we should manage what we're going through, what we can do to make everything a little better, to make working at home or navigating this or dealing with that the best it can be. And yet there is one who offers hope and life and joy. There is one who says the way of the world around us isn't what defines us. There is one who says that we can trust in something greater and that nothing can overcome us. And so even though the world is going crazy, I wonder how you'll respond. Last week, I told the story of Peter as he was confronted by Jesus and recognized that Jesus was up to so much more than he could even begin to possibly grasp. And I said that this was a season that, if we used it for such, could be the greatest season of growth we might ever know. We're going to face more hardship and struggle than maybe any of us have ever known in our lives. We're going to deal with things not being the same as they've been for the next 18 months or more. The lingering impact of this will change the way that we live for a decade. And we get to decide how to respond. And I wonder what it would look like as we begin this Holy Week if we decided that we were going to align ourselves with Jesus. And that not like the crowd that just comes and cheers because that's what everybody else is going to do, but that we decide we're ready to go all in with him, not in some superficial way, but in a way that begins to say, what would it look like for me to put my trust in him? What would it look like for me to hear the things that he says for me to do and then to begin in this season to say, what would it look like to do them? To see what it is that Jesus is doing and then say, how do I begin to do those things in my own life? What would it look like for us to begin to evaluate our life and our time and our finances and our relationships and the way we live our life and use this season to decide how we'll respond? The world around us is crazy, but Jesus is pressing on. And the question is, how will you respond? As we finished our live stream last week, one of our college students, who's in the room again today, said that she was on a Zoom call with some of the other students from her campus ministry, and that one of the people on the Zoom call asked the question, when this is all over, who will you be? And I think as we're on this Palm Sunday, as we remember Jesus who pursues his mission, as we remember that we are always in charge of how we respond, is that we get to decide who we'll be, is that we get to be responsible for our own response, and that what is open before us in this Holy Week and through this season is for us to have a chance to put our faith into Jesus in a way that maybe we never have before. That like those followers and like that disciple who gladly gave his donkey, that we can walk with him and the craziness of the world will not faze us. The world is upended with craziness, and it may not end anytime soon. If you don't do it now, what's next? What are you waiting for? But Jesus invites us to follow him, to find life and peace and hope, even in the midst of the strangest of times. And the question is, how will you respond? Pray with me, please. God, thank you that you are faithful. Lord, we pray that you would help us as we face uncertain times and things that we can't control, that you would help us learn to lean into you in new ways. That, Lord, we would recognize that the world around us is crazy, but that we don't have to take our cues from it. That you're inviting us into a deeper place, a deeper trust, a complete confidence in you. And, Lord, we pray you'd help us learn how to do that, that you'd give us courage, that you'd help us to begin habits and choices and relationships that would bring us closer to you. Lord, we want to be like Jesus, where the craziness of the world doesn't faze us, but we can rest fully in what it is you want. Lord, help us respond in a way that honors you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.